I think that the scriptures are very clear about salvation, who's saved and who's not saved. You see, that is, if you're walking and living in the flesh, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's just what he said. You're not. I don't care who told you you are. The word of God says no. No.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's lesson continues our focus on God's gift of salvation. Roel will give us assurance that we don't have to strive to earn our way into heaven with a record of good works. Our eternal future with the Lord begins with repentance and faith. Stay with us to see that our lives will only truly glorify God when we choose to abide in Jesus and walk daily in obedience to His Word. Let's join Roel Reese for the lesson, Biblical Salvation. Join us in Luke chapter 13, verse 22.
Jesus was walking in Perea. He was going up to Jerusalem, and a young man came up to him and he said, "Lord, how many people are going to be saved? How many people are going to be in heaven?" And Jesus turned to him and gave him this answer. He said, "It's not how many people are going to be in heaven, but are you going to be in heaven? Don't worry about anybody else. Worry about yourself." And that's really what we should be worrying about. Worry about yourself. Are you going to go in heaven? Are you living the life that Christ has called us to live? Because the door of salvation is open right now. There is a time coming, there is a day coming, when the door of salvation will be closed, just like in the days of Noah. And the only way that you're going to be able to receive salvation, the Bible says, is you're going to have to, by faith, not only accept Christ, but it's going to cost you your life. You're going to have to be killed. That's what the Bible teaches. Right now, we're living in that particular period of time where God is beginning to shake the church. And when you read the story that is given to us here in the book of Luke, if you have a Bible, Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 22 through 30. He says, "And as he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, then one of them said to him, 'Lord, are there few who are going to be saved?' And then he said unto them, 'Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and will not be able to.'" Notice Jesus' answer. Did you notice that Jesus, in your New King James and in the Old King James, it uses the word to strive to enter in? What does that mean? The word is used three times in the New Testament, once in the book of Matthew, then used here in the Gospel of Luke, and then another time in one of the epistles. It's the word agonizo. It's actually a word of agonizing, the same word when Jesus was agonizing when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. So literally the word is telling you that it's not easy to be saved. It's hard to get into the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's only one way in, and the way is very narrow, and very few people find it. It's not going to be the millions and the billions. It's going to be the few. The few that know God. The few that have been obedient to the word of God. Bonhoeffer, one of the German scholars that actually wrote in the 1940s, he wrote a couple of books. He has a book called Letters from Prison, and then another one called The Cost of Discipleship. He wrote about people that actually say they're believers, but yet they live like the world, and they're actually cheapening the grace of God, or they're frustrating the grace of God, Paul said. Listen to the rest of the scripture in Luke 13. And so Jesus answered and said, strive to enter into the narrow gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and will not be able. For once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Notice what they're proclaiming. Lord, Lord, curious, curious. Means what? That they know the Lord. And then the Lord answered and said unto them, I do not know you, where you are from, and you will begin to say, but Lord, we ate with you, we drank with you in your presence, and you even taught in our streets. Lord, you saw us. We were with you. But he will say, I tell you, I don't know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. I want you to underline that. Notice the problem. They were living in sin. Workers of iniquity. Not workers of righteousness. Workers of iniquity. Sin is the factor here. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like heaven. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yet you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and they will sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are those that are last that will be first, and those that will be first will be last. Speaking of the period of time of people getting saved at the young age or an old age, a different period of time. The young man came to Jesus and asked him that important theological question. Lord, are there going to be few people that are going to be saved? And Jesus responded and said, how many? Hey, don't worry about how many. Worry about yourself. Are you going to be in heaven? Do you know that as a fact? Very important to understand that. Because the Bible says that many will say, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in your name, and I prophesied in your name, and I did miracles and wonders. And Jesus said, I never knew you. You might have known me, but I don't know you. And I think we have to be very, very careful not to mess with the grace of God. The grace of God is the gift of God to you and me. It is not to be taken advantage of. And that's why salvation is the gift of God given to you as you put your faith and trust in Him, period. You trust Him that He's able to forgive you for the things that you've done in your life. Why? Because you've come by repentance. You've repented of your sin. You're sorry for what you have done. The whole New Testament is written in this way. Live a life of self-denial. You see, I believe what Jesus was saying was true in John 15, that the true way into the kingdom of God is to abide every day with Jesus. Every day you have to abide. That's my relationship with Him. And Paul talks about this salvation continuing on. And it's not a once and for all. It's a continual factor until the day you die, until you're in the presence of God. It's in the present tense in the Greek. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15, 1 through 8. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Now, you have a house and you have trees. And you know what it's like. If you have a tree that doesn't bear fruit, what do? First of all, I give it a second chance. So what do? I trim it. To see if next year it'll give fruit. But I will take those actual stems in the tree that are dead and I will cut them off. Why? Because they're sucking up the vine. They're of no value anymore. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's the vine. We are the branches. And if you don't have the life of God in you, then what are you good for? Nothing but to be cut off. That's what Jesus is teaching. Listen. He's every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it. Why? That it may bear more fruit. You already are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. I want you to underline that. You can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. And yet, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not active in a church, and you're not really in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with God, then what kind of a stem are you? Think about that. You can't survive just by going to church. The Word of God is life to us. Being in the Word of God daily, studying God's mind, God's heart. Why? Because I want to be like Him. That's the process of Christianity. If you're constantly filtering in your mind the world and the music and the magazines and the TV and all that garbage, what are you going to do? You're going to become just like the world. And Jesus said we're to be more like Him. Why? Because we used to be like the world. And yet when you look at the church has become so carnal. It is more like the world more than Jesus Christ. When you talk to people, when you look at their priorities, who's first in your life today? Think about it. Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be done unto you. If God is not one in your life, you're already backslidden. Read the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. If God is not your first love, you already need to repent. If He's not everything in your life today, you already are on your way down. That's what the Bible says.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit us at SomebodyLovesYou.com for Bible-rich resources and check out the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel for biblical teaching, including Raul's Straight Talk program, streaming live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Let's continue now with more from Raul Reese.
He says, I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, notice if you're not abiding in Jesus Christ, okay? You say you accepted Christ, great. Are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Because if you're not, listen. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. What happens when you're not in the Word, when you're not in prayer, when you're not in the Lord? You're going to wither away. And eventually you're going to die. You're going to be of no value to anybody. And what does God do? Look. And they gathered them and they threw them into the fire and they burned them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see, abiding means what? Obeying God's words. Obedience is the key to the Christian life. Don't tell me what you are. Show me by your actions. That's the key. Show me that you're a child of God. You can call yourself Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Calvary Chapel, Catholic, whatever it is. That means nothing to God. Nothing. It's so important that we abide in Him. Why? He says, and my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire according to His will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Are you bearing fruit? The Bible says that we bear 30, 60, 100 fold. Not everybody bears the same. But you have to be fruitful. If you're not fruitful, then you're not a child of God. Every person has to be fruitful in the kingdom of God to be a disciple, to be a learner. You have to be committed. We believe that if a person says that he is a Christian, then he has to and she has to live according to the word of God. His life or her life has to be a life demonstrated by the fruit of the Spirit. the Holy Spirit of God, and cannot be living a life of sin. Why? Because sin separates, sin destroys, sin brings forth death eternally. That's what Paul said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see? Why do I say this? Because I am concerned. How can we say to the world, Jesus lives, Jesus not only saves us, but he gives us eternal life, and yet when they see our lives, it doesn't match what we're saying? Why? What do I mean by this? Well, you have Christians that are still drunkards, fornicators, homosexuals. They're still stealing and cheating and lying. And those kinds of works are the works of the flesh. The Bible says you used to be like that, but this is what you're like now. It doesn't mean we're perfect. Nobody's perfect. Only one. That's Jesus Christ. We're going to be perfect one day when we're redeemed and glorified. But you cannot say that you're a child of God and be living with your girlfriend in sexual sin, or to be drinking with the boys on the weekend and getting drunk and say you're a Christian. You're contradicting the Word of God. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. And that's not what I say, that's what God says. So I stand with confidence with God. Because I would be a hypocrite if I was saying something and I'm not doing. I become a hypocrite just like anybody else. Listen to the Word of God, what God's Word says. Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans, which is one of the greatest books in the New Testament. This is what he says in chapter 6, 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The more I sin, the more God gives me his grace, or the more grace I have, the more liberty I have to sin. Paul says, God forbid. Don't let it be that way. No way. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, now that we have been saved from our transgressions, from our sins, shall we continue to do the things that we used to do? Never again, Paul says, literally. Not so. God forbid. Otherwise, where is the power of God in our lives? Listen to Paul again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21, speaking to the Galatians. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. You see, light and darkness don't mix. So that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Holy Spirit, then you are not under the law. Now these are the works of the flesh which are evident. What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is the word pharmakia, means drug abuse. And that's not aspirin. Okay? Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, which means wild parties, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in times past, that those who are continually practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. Even in the book of Hebrews, Paul the Apostle, talking about the Judaizers, the Jews that had come to Christ and then they went away from Christ. You see, they were saved. The Jews were saved. But they decided to go back and start doing what? Start sacrificing goats and lambs again. And what do? They brought the blood of Jesus Christ into what? Into shame. And Paul writes to them and says, you are condemned. Listen to what he says to them. Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In that day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and they tried me, and I saw my works 40 years, Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they do always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And what happened to them? They all died in the wilderness except for their children, except for Joshua and Caleb. They all died of unbelief in the wilderness. And then Peter, in 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, listen to Peter. He says, you therefore, beloved, speaking to Christians, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall away from your own steadfastness. Can a Christian fall away? Of course. That's what he's saying. Paul said it, Peter said it, Jesus said it. By not abiding in Christ, you can fall away. Watch this. Being led away with the error of wickedness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever and ever. So be it. I think that the scriptures are very clear about salvation. Who's saved and who's not saved. This is why Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 13:5 said, take an examination of your life daily. Where are you today spiritually? Why? Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith or not. Test yourselves. Don't you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified or put on the shelf. What puts you on the shelf? Sin. You can't be used by God when you're sinning. He can't use you. You have to repent. You have to get right with God. God forgives sinners, and he forgives our sin, but we cannot cheapen the grace of God. We cannot. You see, we must understand, first of all, that salvation is God's gift. To that person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, salvation is not through works, not through works that we do, but it is only through faith in Christ. And as I receive Jesus Christ in my life, then what do? I begin to work towards the kingdom of God. Why? Because what I am doing is in eternity. It's not temporal. It's eternal. I'm not going to be here for the rest of my life. That's the key.
We hope this lesson has challenged you to put God first in your life as you honor Him with obedience propelled by undivided devotion. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is titled Biblical Salvation. If you'd like to get a complete copy with much more teaching, we'll be happy to send one to you for a donation of $5 or more. Simply call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to tell you about this entire 15-part series titled True Salvation. Available on either CD or thumb drive, Raul's study will inspire you to seek more in your relationship with Christ. You'll see that you don't have to settle for empty religious activity, but can enjoy close communion with your Savior when you follow Him in faith and surrender. Connect with us at somebodylovesyou.com or call us at 800-634-9165 to order Raul's 15-message series titled True Salvation. We'll send you the USB drive for $20 or the CD collection for $30. The number again is 800-634-9165. You can also write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This ministry is fully listener-supported, and your partnership is a great blessing to us. Every tax-deductible contribution enables us to keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus. Well, we are glad you've included us in your day today. It's always a privilege to explore God's Word with you, and we'd love for you to join us again next time. Together, we'll meditate on the Lord's goodness and learn from His wisdom and truth. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul.
This is why Jesus said this. In Matthew 16, 24 to 26, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit if a man, if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about that. Think of all the people that are selling out cheap today, their souls, for an hour, a week, a month, a year of excitement compared to all eternity. No thank you. No thank you. You got to make a choice individually. Abiding in Jesus Christ is the key. Obedience, not disobedience. You say you love me? Keep my commandments, Jesus said. Two commandments, to love the Lord and to love our neighbor as ourself, period.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.